I didn't see anything. I was standing. We're in room five.
She's the one that wants to see something.
Hello, and welcome to the second hour of the Jefferson, Texas Ghost Hunting Show. One of the reasons this town is being billed as the most haunted town in Texas is this hotel, where we are right now, the Jefferson. This historic hotel is located in the heart of the Riverfront District. We're in the lobby, and you can feel the timeless atmosphere. Indeed, you can almost hear whispers, secrets of long ago. Here in the lobby, we have several people around, guests of the hotel, and this hotel is supposed to be haunted. Actually, I think that's the reason Chris and Walt came over here, right? You drove over here from College Station for the weekend. You wanted to experience the splendor and at the same time the fact that ghosts walk through these halls late at night. Walt and Chris Carruthers, welcome to the show. And welcome to the haunted but beautiful Victorian hotel, the Jefferson. Chris, come on, tell me. Do you really buy into these ghost stories here about the hotel?
I find it very interesting.
You're fascinated with it, at least.
Yes, I'm fascinated with it.
Right. Now, Walt, he's the non-believer.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you would call me a non-believer or a skeptic or not wanting to believe.
That's why we brought him,
I'm the chicken.
Yeah, I understand.
Right.
I can identify with that.
I'm the chicken.
Now, you're staying in a room that has a history. What is that? What's the history of that?
We're in five last night, and its history is the Ironclad Man, which is a cowboy that comes to that room that wears boots and leaves them. And he walks in the room, takes his boots off, and drops them, and they hear it. They hear these boots hitting the floor. So that meant nothing to me, you know, lights on, getting ready to go out for a walk that, you know, in the evening. I'm standing in the middle of the room, and I don't know if you've ever felt somebody take a finger and rub the short hair on your neck, like your collar was brushing on the hair, kind of like tickling just the hair ends.
You felt that?
Well, I felt it on my left leg.
Oh.
Well, I looked down, and I was near nothing. There was no breeze. There was no air conditioning blowing on my leg. I just felt it in the middle of my left calf.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls took pictures of my leg, and we're standing there, and this lasted for a good 20-25 minutes.
You guys took pictures of what he was saying. It was the hair was standing up or whatever.
Right, on
hoping
the leg.
To catch something
did you see
on.
Did you get a chance to see?
Well,
in
as a matter of fact, we did. A red, pink circle around the area that he thought he felt. At first we thought he was imagining, because none of us felt anything until the look on his face was like he had seen a ghost. So, in fact, I do believe something.
So, for 20-30 minutes, I'm standing here turning in circles, and I kept feeling it. Well, we decided we were going to leave, you know, I was done with this and didn't want to feel it anymore, and I wanted to leave the room.
Right.
So we go outside, and we're standing right outside by the bench out front. And I still felt it, standing outside, only on my left leg, not on my right. So I can't explain it. Don't even want to try.
But you did have an experience of some sort,
I'm willing to admit.
You haven't heard the boots drop yet, either one of you.
I think my daughters heard something.
Now, how old are your daughters?
18 and 16.
Okay, and their names?
Jessica and Jamie.
Okay, Jessica and Jamie. You guys had some experience of some sort? Well, come over here, lean into the microphone, and tell us about it. We're going to find out, did this happen here or in College Station? In here. Last night. Okay, now which one are you?
I'm Jessica.
Okay, and you're?
Jamie.
Okay, and you're 16, you're 18. The other way around. Okay, let's find out about it.
We had stayed in room 5, which is the same room Dad felt on his left leg. They had gone outside somewhere. I don't know. We had just gotten there, maybe been 30 minutes into it. And there's two beds in this room. I was on one facing Jamie, and she was on the other facing me. We were both laying down, kind of, I was coloring, you know, doing like really childish things. And she was looking at me, and she was doing whatever she was doing, reading or something. And we had heard something drop off the bed. That's what we figured. Something.
And
just
I thought I knocked it off because it was on my side. So I was like, oh, I'm sorry, I'll go get it. I got up to get it, but there's nothing on the floor.
At all.
And before, I brought a recorder, too, because I've heard of EVP, and, you know, and I
did
wanted
you get
to,
anything on tape yet?
Yeah, we did. Recorded it, yeah. And I rewind it back, and there's something actually fell on the floor. You can hear it.
It sounds like change, and like a bag of change or something, like
something
fell on the floor.
Something fell on the floor, and we listened to it over and over and over again, and we just cannot understand what happened.
It makes no sense.
So we think that's our experience that we had here.
Definitely.
You got a little cassette recorder?
Yeah. Yes.
Is it around here someplace?
I
think we do have the tape somewhere, Dad.
Somewhere up there. Somewhere.
Is it on the counter?
We might get you to play it for us.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Never been.
I don't know where it is.
It should be down
here.
Yeah, you can get it. I don't know where the tape is.
There's a tape on the counter. I don't know whose that is.
But it was our first kind of experience that we had.
Is that the tape?
I think this is the tape that it's on.
Okay.
And but the recorder.
Okay, go get a recorder.
Yeah,
because we got a recorder to play it too. Okay, now 18. That means you graduated from school.
I did. Yeah, I did. I'm going to Blinn College right now.
At College Station.
Yes.
Or, okay.
Yes, College Station.
That's convenient.
Yes,
but you don't get to leave the house.
No, I don't. But it's rent free, so I'm good.
And. When you get back home, you're going to tell this story to people.
Yeah, I probably am. Yeah, absolutely.
And were you predisposed to be leaving in Ghost before you came?
We've been here before. We came here
one
about
time,
2 years ago, and we believed it
anything
kind of.
Anything happened then?
No.
No, we were bummed because nothing happened. Nothing. We didn't hear anything.
I was
like,
happy.
Oh, man. And so,
but we made up for it this time.
Yes, we really, really did.
You had this one on.
She has it.
Okay. Yeah, she was taping.
Oh, she's taping some noises. Maybe you picked something up.
Yeah, I was taping something.
It was an EVP.
I am not the ghost chaser.
Well, you guys, you know, you're coming prepared, and that was pretty good.
We read about it the last time. The last time we read about what people would do.
Is it close? Is it queued up?
Yeah, I have it.
Okay,
is it really queued up?
Right up to the microphone.
Okay, you're going to hear talking.
Now listen, everybody.
Yeah,
you're going to hear some talking, but it's distinctive. It's not very loud, though.
And we'll tell you.
I heard it.
That wasn't nice.
I heard the reaction too.
Yeah. And after that, we had let it run, and we were going through any explanation
on
what
happened.
We said
it was the ice melting,
bags
and it made a noise.
Falling, but there was nothing on the ground.
There was nothing on the floor. So
what do you think it was? A bag of change falling out of somebody's pockets when they're getting ready to go to bed, or what? Spurs, you know, Cowboys. It is Texas.
And so we don't know how else to explain it. So that's our only evidence we have.
Spurs is a really good one. I hadn't thought about that one. I wouldn't be surprised if it was his Spurs.
It probably is.
Oh man, because it made no sense.
Thanks for coming by and telling me the story.
It's no problem.
Now, is this your son?
Yes.
You going to come over and talk to me? Yeah, he's going to tell me a story. Now we're going to get. Okay. How do you feel your mother working in a place like this? I mean, it's pretty interesting, isn't it?
Yes, sir. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. What's your name now?
Chance.
And how old are you?
13.
Okay. Now you've spent a few nights here, in the hotel, two or three.
Yes, sir.
Well, tell me your story. You said you had something that was interesting.
Yes, sir. It's not. We got to stay in room 25 with the jacuzzi and everything, and I was sleeping in a cot right by the TV. And I kept hearing stuff up at right above our room, and nobody was staying right up there by that room. And
what'd you hear?
It sounded like people walking, and then if you ever watch Signs and like aliens, it's that kind of sound, and where they talk, it's like that. And then it just went on all night. Her like stuff was moving.
It's kind of like talking through a filter or another dimension or something.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's spooky.
Yes, sir.
Did it scare you?
Mm-hmm. I was worried. I was wanting to leave.
I mean, how old are you in?
13.
Too old to sleep with your mother, but I bet you thought about it.
No, yeah. I haven't done that. No.
Oh, no, not that. Okay. So where are you going to sleep tonight?
We're sleeping in room 5, the one where they
one where they heard the noises.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Now and what happened to did they check out already? Or you guys?
We moved to room 1.
Oh, you went to room 1. What's supposed to happen in room 1?
We're hoping a lot of excitement. Yeah. I don't know yet.
Yeah, I think we talked about room 1 earlier. And yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm diabetic, and I have an insulin pump that I had to wear it all the time. And I woke up the next morning, and it was on the night before, and I didn't take it off or nothing. And I got up that morning, and I went to the bathroom, and then I came back out and was looking for my insulin pump. And I was looking in the blankets and everything, tore my little, I was sleeping in a cot looking for it. And I went through all the blankets and everything trying to find it. And I looked under the bed, couldn't see it, and I looked in the dressers and everything. And I looked behind the nightstand beside my mom's bed, and it was right there. And
what happened? You lost it and you couldn't figure it out, and then somebody put it back? Or what do you think happened there?
I don't know, I guess. I don't know. I thought Mama might have took off with it, but she says she doesn't, so I guess the ghost was playing with it.
We're just kind of playing a trick on you.
Mm-hmm. My mom said...
You know, your mother's talking about how much money it costs, and she wouldn't hire it, so...
Yep.
I can sympathize with you. I'm a diabetic, too, so...
Oh, you are?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, anyway, you're pretty healthy-looking. You're going to be fine, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Good. Well, I don't know about staying in this hotel all the time, but I guess you're going to be... your mother took this job. You're going to be here, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay, thanks very much.
This lady here, you've had experiences here too at the hotel, right? You've actually seen the ghost in your room.
Okay, so the girl just sits on the bed and taps her heels against the wood frame thing, and the man, I don't know, I felt like...
Is she wearing a little boy dress?
Yeah. I couldn't really get a color, but she was about 5 or 6.
For 3 nights in a row.
Go ahead, Kelly. Come back in there and tell
about
me.
About a month ago, I had a dream of a little girl standing here at the corner of my desk. And she's got a dark-haired guy standing behind her. And she, the first 2 nights, she just keeps looking at me. She's got this just weird look on her face. And she says, "Do you think he's evil?" And then the next night, same thing again. "Do you think he's evil?" And then the 3rd night, it finally comes across to me the way she is saying it. She is not asking me, really, if I think he's evil. She's trying to tell me that he's not. I mean, that was just the sense. I wish they would come back to me and visit me one more time, because there's a couple of things I want to ask them. But that room didn't start doing that till I started to work here. And I think those 2 watch me. That just freaked me out that you said that, because it was the little girl standing there. And she's got long blonde hair, but it's not pulled up like you would think it should be. You know, she's got a little blue dress that comes about mid-length. And she's not quite dressed in the same time period he is. He's kind of got a more, it's almost like a Civil War type thing, but it's not what I've seen pictures of. It's more like he's got on blue jeans and one of the jackets. And he's got on boots that are like right to here. Well, maybe that's what I'm just misinterpreting what he had on, because he has on like a gray jacket, and it just reminded me of one of the soldiers' jackets. But he's got on blue jeans and the high black boots with it, and that he stands right behind her, and I'm sitting here at the counter and I'm talking to you. So that's funny that you tell me that that's who's in there, because that's the only confrontation I would say I've had with any of them in here, is them 2 coming to me while I slept. And that's the first 2 nights it scared me, because I thought she was trying to tell me he was evil, that maybe he had done something to her or something. But the 3rd night, it finally just come across to me that it wasn't that he had done anything, that she was trying to make me comfortable with him. He's really not so bad.
Yeah. Thanks, Kelly. When we come back, we'll talk to the paranormal investigators. Ghost, you're in Jefferson. They think they're real. I'm Jerry Pippin. Don't go away. Biggest secret ever is about to be revealed. Fast Walkers. UFO and alien disclosure.
Words you were never meant to hear.
It's clear we're dealing with a cosmic Watergate.
This is the biggest secret in the history of the human race, the known modern history of government.
photos you were never meant to see. Video you never knew existed. People you were never meant to meet.
As Jack Nicholson would say, you can't handle the truth.
Essentially everything that you would want to know has been covered up.
Things you were never meant to know about.
No one has produced a higher quality, better produced DVD. Anytime, anywhere. Fast Walkers now available on DVD for only $19.95 at shopjerrypippin.com. We are now in the gazebo of one of the more famous bed and breakfast facilities here in Jefferson, the House of the Seasons. The Metroplex Paranormal Investigations Unit had an eventful night for sure. Lots of paranormal events happening. But for this afternoon, a different story. A warm, peaceful, sunny day in East Texas. Everyone is sitting around and talking about the past 2 days of ghost investigations. So let's join the conversation, see what they think about this ghostly weekend. Let's start off the conversation with one of the paranormal investigators, Melissa Alou.
Melissa, how long have you been in this organization looking for ghosts?
About 3 years.
Is that exactly what you do? It's a paranormal thing. Did I basically cover it when I said looking for ghosts, or what else do you guys do?
Well, we're looking for evidence of possible ghost activity through the use of EVPs or photographs or any kind of...
Have you been successful yourself on getting some photographs, for instance?
Some of the orb pictures I've gotten, I haven't gotten any apparitions. And orbs are still kind of questionable, but...
Now, you went down to that haunted coach last night, and... Rita didn't go, but it was too dark for her. So tell me what happened down there.
Oh, it's great. It's a train that goes through some of the forested area of Jefferson and talks about some of the history of the area and some ghostly reports that they've seen and heard.
Now, when you first joined up with this organization, it's a volunteer group, right?
Right. We don't charge any money for any investigations that we do.
And has it turned out basically what you thought it'd be? Or?
Yes. It's lots and lots of fun to have a group to go out with and have the opportunity to look at different houses and areas that ordinarily I wouldn't have the chance to do.
Now, Mark told me that this is the most haunted town in Texas, Jefferson. Do you go along with that?
I would have to agree, yes.
You think so?
Yes.
Well, they certainly have an industry about it. They're not bashful.
Right. And it's pretty fun to stay in the bed and breakfasts and hear about the stories in various places.
Personal experiences over the years? I mean, you had to get interested in this somehow. Was it just watching horror movies or what?
I just had a lifelong interest in the paranormal. I can't really explain it. I was born with it.
I mean, you're a school teacher, so you're a college graduate.
Right.
The reason I bring that up is that you're intellectual, at least somewhat. You were able to pass through college and get a degree.
Well,
and I'm just asking you, a lot of people say, oh, man, I don't want to hear anything about that. But I think there's a lot of scientific evidence out there to back this up. And that's what you guys are doing, right?
Right. It's something mysterious, and it can't necessarily be proven, and it can't be disproven. So there's that mystery that is so intriguing to me, and that I'm searching for that definitive proof somewhere out there.
Well, maybe we'll find it, and when you do, I'll be checking back with you. Don't forget about it.
Sounds
okay.
Great.
What are you going to do? Some more ghost hunting this summer, or?
Yes, any chance I get, I'm going to be out hunting for some ghosts.
Now, we have on our website a way to get a hold of your organization. So, how far from the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex would you go to look for paranormal experiences?
Well, it depends on.
I mean, this is a couple hundred miles, isn't it?
Right, it's about a 3.5-hour drive.
Right.
It's not bad. Driving throughout Texas is, we're used to driving long distances. So
in other words, you would you classify your organization as
Ghostbusters or more just an investigative unit?
We wouldn't bust the ghosts, but we do just want to help owners of homes.
You're really not trying to get rid of.
Exactly. We want to help the owners out and let them know if what they're hearing is something that can be explained or not.
Have you made an effort to communicate with the other side?
I do my best at trying to get some EVPs, and I've gotten a few here and there, but always looking.
Now, a lot of people stayed downtown at the Jefferson last night because they had to get up. Did you come back here to this bed and breakfast? Or?
Right. My sleep schedule didn't match there, so I didn't quite make that one.
Neither did mine. Hey, thanks a lot.
Thank
We're
you.
We're going to talk to Christy, I guess. You got a cast on your arm there. No ghost broke that, did they?
No, that was all human.
I mean, you weren't terrified and fell down the steps
no.
or something.
Exercising, actually.
At the Jefferson, that did happen to a ghost investigator. She fell down the steps several years back and broke an arm. I mean, she started hearing doors opening and slamming and things. So I guess the reason I bring this up is... have you ever been in a little tenuous situation where maybe you got a little concerned?
Actually, I have. There was one case where I actually would say I was scared.
And tell me a little bit about that. You know, in broadcasting, we always want to get the jazzy stuff.
We were at the Baker Hotel in Mineral Wells.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a pretty famous place in its own.
We have visited there a couple of times. I happened to be on the fifth floor. I had not heard stories of what was going on. I was with a friend who is not in our paranormal group. Just a friend went along. And we exited off the fifth floor and walked down the hall. And about the same time, we both felt like we were just being chased. So we turned around and ran, of course. When you're being chased, you run. So that's exactly what we did.
You felt it. You didn't hear the footsteps or anything. But you felt that you should get the heck out of here.
Absolutely. And I might point out that both of us, I try to be skeptical.
Is this that famous old hotel downtown they used to have dance bands there and years ago?
Absolutely. And it was on our next visit down there, another guide, I asked if anything had happened on that floor and was given some good stories to justify why I was scared. So.
And you guys all have the pat answer here when I say, well, what did you see? When you say, well, we haven't reviewed the data yet. What are we talking about when you're talking about data?
Well, everybody is documenting while we're on an investigation. We're taking pictures. We have tape recordings going. We're using our own observations, looking for things also. And so everybody kind of does everything. And then we go back and review our material. And then if we find suspicious, looks out of the norm, we'll isolate that and go back and further review. So we're hesitant to automatically say something is something because we try to take a scientific approach. And we like to find two points of confirmation before we will definitely say
something is suspicious. You're even better than the Washington Post. They only want one other source.
Well, I mean, a lot of things, in fact, interesting, last night at the Jefferson, we opened a door to a room and I snapped a picture in what looked like a huge orb right in the middle. So I immediately snapped another picture. Well, it was still there. So I continued to snap pictures and found that it did not move, which indicated to me this is a reflection of some sort. So I played around with it a little bit, and I found that it depended on how far I had the door open and how far into the door I was when I took that picture. However, I can easily see where somebody might open that door and snap a picture and think they have a ghost.
Right. We run across that a lot on the UFO shows I've been doing for a long time. Since the advent of the digital camera, we seem to be getting more pictures because people are taking more pictures, but also there seems to be certain lighting and moisture on the lens and things like that. But not everything is that, like
right.
You say. You end up sometimes... I know in UFOs, you take a picture and all of a sudden they look at it and, hey, there's a UFO in the background. Does that happen with ghosts and aberrations? I mean, do you all of a sudden have an innocent picture and all of a sudden there's something there, like a little wisp of light or something?
Yes. Even when you're having a digital camera in your hands and you look at the picture that they show you on the screen, you can't see everything. It's not until you enhance it and look at it. And I like to run my suspicious pictures through a negative, where it turns the picture into a negative, because that will often make things stand out more.
So in other words, you really are attacking this from the standpoint of if it's a lighting condition or something to do with the lens or whatever, you'd like to find out rather than run around saying you have a picture of
something. Right, and that's why I like to review immediately, look at what I've got, and if it looks suspicious, try to immediately recreate it. Or you can have a buddy with you, and when one snaps a picture, the other one snaps a picture to see if
Have you had any experiences on this trip? You've been here 3 days.
Last night when I was in the Jefferson, actually disproving this gigantic cube orb, I noticed other small orb-like things at the top of the roof, so I started snapping pictures, and my camera's 12 seconds apart on the shots, and I was able to follow these around the room.
So you had the case of the dancing orbs.
Absolutely. So while I was disproving one thing, I think I was finding another thing. So
how long have you been interested in things like this?
A little bit my whole life, but I started seeing orb-like things appearing in my own pictures at home after moving to another house is when I started looking for the group.
So you really think there is something to some houses being inhabited by other people or other life forms or something?
Yes, I definitely believe there's life after life.
And do you have an explanation why not everyone appears back, or maybe they do and we just don't pay attention? That might be part of it. We just may not be observant enough. You know, why some people turn out to come back, cross over again, and others don't?
I think it's like the living. I mean, some people have relatives all over and they never stop in to say hello to them when they're alive. So it could be that the same thing occurs when you cross over, that it's a matter of choice, that they think they need to revisit this earth or not.
In the background, we can hear the ghost train. No, it's a regular train.
It's a regular train.
But yes, it did sound like that. And I'm doing a show in July on the ghost trains of Eurasia, in which literally during World War II, they packed up, the Nazis packed up a whole train load of people and shipped them off to a far part of Russia and Siberia, actually, and they never showed up. But guess what? The train and the people ended up in Argentina. And this guy has investigated this, and he seems to have lots of documents about it. So I'm a book's coming out in September. So ghost trains are not only things of movies, but evidently they're around. What's the ghost story here on this ghost train exactly? Did you go on it last night and hear the guy talk about it?
Yes. Most of the employees that have worked there have had some sort of experience, and that's pretty much what they elaborate on, or the things that have occurred to them. There is a train car they do have sitting out in the woods a little bit.
Out there in the dark and looked at it.
Mm-hmm.
Did you go along?
Yes, I went.
Yeah, did you feel anything mysterious or dangerous or strange?
I did not. I believe there were some moving orbs captured on video inside.
Now, when we're talking about orbs, are we talking about wisp of light or little lights the size of basketballs or different things?
Orbs are small, pretty much circles that appear on film. And I don't know if anybody can really tell you exactly what they are. There's controversy. Everybody wants to have their own opinion. There's a lot on the internet about orbs.
Oh, sure. We do a lot of shows about it. And
I do know that they're not everywhere. I take pictures a lot of places, and they don't show up. So if you go to some place that's purportedly inhabited and they do show up, that could raise a question right there.
Which is more haunted, this area in Jefferson or Mineral Wells? They've got a lot of stories out there, and I imagine there's other places in Texas.
I think pretty much anywhere you go you can find something.
Yeah, if you're looking for it. I'm gonna wrap this up because time is getting us here, but finally, one final question about this. How long have you been in this organization here in Dallas-Fort Worth?
4 years.
And is it pretty much turned out the way you thought it would?
Absolutely. It's a great group of people to be with. We get along great. We trust
each other. Now, you have mostly women here, the ghost girls, I guess is what we'll call you.
Yeah.
you do have men in your organization, too,
Absolutely.
Though. Okay.
Five.
Yeah.
Almost half.
Six women, five males.
Okay, well, that's just like the demographics of the country, I think, are very close. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. I've enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Okay, now who wants to talk next?
There's our group leader. Make her do it.
I know.
Coming up, we will be talking with the co-founder of the Metroplex Paranormal Investigations Group, and also a return visit to wrap up this ghostly weekend with an overview of it all from Dr. Rita Louise, our favorite psychic. So don't go away.
sensitive to energy? Want to explore the world beyond the five senses? Are you looking for a new career as an alternative healthcare practitioner? Then the Institute of Applied Energetics, Medical Intuition, Intuitive Counseling, or Energy Medicine Training Programs may be right for you. Our comprehensive curriculum provides students with a deep understanding of how to detect, evaluate, and transform the subtle energy systems within the body. It also provides specific techniques for correcting energetic imbalances that may underscore a person's ability to experience radiant health. So if you are sensitive to energy or want to understand the energetic systems that lie behind physical, emotional, and mental health, then the Institute of Applied Energetics training programs may be right for you. Contact the Institute of Applied Energetics today by going to AppliedEnergeticsInstitute.com. That's AppliedEnergeticsInstitute.com.
Welcome back to our show. We're in Jefferson, Texas. They say it's the most haunted town in this state. Texas is a big state, so that's a big claim. We have with us right now, from the Metroplex Paranormal Investigations Unit, Vicki Isaacs.
How long have you been the ghost leader?
Well, in 2001, my friend Amy Green and I started the group.
Amy Green?
Mm-hmm.
And is she still in the organization?
No, she isn't.
Did she leave because of a personal reason, or was she scared stiff? Or what happened there?
We had too many group members, okay. And I decided to reformat the group, and Amy chose not to stay.
And basically, what do you guys do? Do you have little meetings like AA or what?
We are a very social group, so we do go out to movies and things sometimes, but most of our communication is done through the Yahoo group page.
Yes.
And telephone.
Someone, are you open for more members, or are you pretty well full at this point?
We're pretty well full. I cut the membership almost in half when I reformatted the group.
And what was the reason? Just to keep control of things so you could actually focus on something? Because if you get a lot of people, they're out doing all different kinds of things.
And that's exactly it. When something that sounded really interesting came up, we'd have the whole 20 members out
and
there.
And when it was routine, nobody would be there.
Well, a core group would be there, the ones that are really serious about it. And I felt like it wasn't fair to the people that are really serious about it.
What kind of reaction do you get from your friends when they find out you have this organization?
Well, it's one of two things. Are you crazy? Or, hey, that's really cool.
Have you run across a situation where you were scared?
Not by anything paranormal.
Oh, okay. We had some,
Terry plays a lot of tricks.
So they do play games with you.
Yeah, and they seem to pick at me the most for some reason.
Well, now Rita heard a voice at 4:06 yesterday morning at the Jefferson yelling at her. Was that somebody playing a trick, or did she really hear it?
If Rita says she heard it, I think she heard it.
Okay, we'll ask her about it in a moment before we wrap up the show. But and so you do have at least one psychic, her, involved in this, right?
Correct. What she does is totally different than what we do. We only document the activity.
When you say you document it, do you keep records of exactly what? Do you take pictures and you take some sort of readings, I guess?
We take meter readings.
And what kind of meter readings is what I'm getting to?
EMF meter readings, electromagnetic fields,
temperature. Always hear the temperature, and I always get different stories. Which is it? Does it get colder or hotter when a ghost is around?
Actually, it could be both.
Okay.
Cold when it's drawing the energy out of the atmosphere, and then it'll release it and it'll warm back up.
And have you seen an image of anything?
No, I'm one of those people that you're going to have to knock in the head with a hammer. I'm a skeptical believer, and I'm more on the believer side.
Yes.
But...
Well,
nothing
kind of,
ever happens
kind
to
of
me.
Like me, I'm kind of agnostic about it, but I'm very open to it.
Right, exactly. I've not ever had anything happen to me, but I think that there's that possibility.
Well, you know, if you don't pay attention, and there have been comedy movies made about things like that, like a ghost trying to scare somebody and they're not paying any attention, that actually is not far-fetched. If some people are attuned to things and some people aren't.
Right.
Just like when you're driving down the freeway, a lot of some people see things, other people don't. What's your next project?
Actually, we have an investigation next Friday night in Fort Worth.
And what are you going to be investigating?
A private home.
Most of these things, do they happen in private homes or public places when ghosts appear?
Lately, what we've been doing are private homes. It seems to happen a lot more. And I think maybe the homeowners are more interested in finding out what it is than a business owner would be.
I just got a call from a woman in Tulsa who said, you know, I moved to this house last week, and she started naming things have been breaking, and doors have been slamming. And I said, well, you better call your real estate lady and ask her. Maybe you can get your money back.
Yeah, they should have disclosure there.
Yeah, yeah, they do. They do have disclosure in most states now, don't they? What's your theory behind if these entities actually exist? Why are they trapped because of some problem, or are they here because they want to be? Or?
Well, there's two schools of thought on that.
I'm trying to find out what you think about it.
What I think?
But one of the schools of thought, it'd be interesting to hear.
Okay, well, one of the types of haunting is called a traditional haunting, and that's an intelligent haunting. It's trying to contact you. It knows that you're there, and it wants you to know that it's there. And most of the time, that's happened with a violent death, a car accident, a suicide, something like that. Maybe they had unfinished business, so they're earthbound. Then there's a residual energy, which is like a broken record that just plays over and over and over again.
It's stuck. Then.
It's energy releasing over a period of time. It doesn't have any idea. It's not aware of you, but you're aware of it. And that's actually your best chance to see a ghost.
Texas, is that a good place for ghosts?
Texas has a lot of history. I think any place with a lot of history.
And a lot of pride.
Right.
It's interesting. Texas is, I don't want to sound like the ad for their state, but there's all kinds of territory, all kinds of people, all kinds of situations in this state. It's a very big state. So, like over here in the east, it's almost like you want to sit down and have a mint julep, you know.
Right.
Seems to me that at first glance you'd think this part of the state was more haunted, but I'm not sure because Mineral Wells came up, and there's a lot of things happen out there in the cowboy country, in the prairie.
Well, we average two investigations a month. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's three a month and only one the next month, but the average is two. So, and we're from the Dallas Metroplex, so yeah. There's something going on everywhere, apparently.
Right. Well, you drove 3.5 hours to get over here. Mineral Wells is about the same the other way, I think.
Right. Yeah. And we'll pretty much go anywhere in Texas, even though we're based in North Texas.
Now when we talk about you being full up, you can't handle any more members, how about investigations? Can people contact you if they have something of interest?
Yes, they can. They can email me at the website.
Okay. And we have a link to that and on our website and your email address. So, if that's okay, we'll put that up there.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Okay.
I mean, we'd even go to Oklahoma and Louisiana. We're not picky. We love road trips. So.
Well, good. Well, maybe we'll run across each other on the road again.
Well, that would be nice.
Yeah.
Thank you, Vicki. Vicki Isaacs with the Metroplex Paranormal Investigations Unit. And we're going to now go across the gazebo here and talk to Rita Louise. Dr. Louise, of course, is a PhD and a well-known soul healer. And she has other things going besides being a psychic, and we'll probably touch on that. By the way, she has an interesting website, and we have a link to it right here on this page. You might check her out. Rita? It's been an interesting weekend for sure. Welcome back to the show.
When we left you last night, you were going to go into the Jefferson Hotel.
Yep.
And you spent a long time in there. In fact, you spent the night.
Well, I ended up spending the night in there. It was an unexpected surprise.
Now, you had to get up and do a TV show real early, so it made sense to stay there, really.
Mm-hmm.
You say somebody yelled at you during the night?
Well, actually, it was about 8 minutes before I had to get up to do the television interview, and I was having a dream about driving to the hotel to have the television interview,
And then someone yelled in my ear, and I just sat bolt up in the bed and was like, okay.
It was better than the alarm. It came off faster than the alarm did, huh?
Well, I definitely was awake.
Yeah, I understand. Well, tell us what happened in that hotel. You sensed some things. You saw some things, I think.
Well, I mean, there wasn't any one thing in particular, but you'll appreciate this.
Okay.
And I'm going to just kind of skip to the middle part because this is the juicier part.
Okay.
And so I went in, and there were a couple of rooms that I investigated in the downstairs part, which we can come back to if we have time. But as I started walking up the stairs, the first thing that hit me was that it had been a brothel in the upstairs part.
And you didn't know that at the time?
No, I knew nothing.
Later on, after you went inside, talked to the manager, she gave us the history of the place. And so you sensed that right off the bat?
About a third of the way up the stairs.
And evidently there were some murders in conjunction with it being a brothel.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. But see, I didn't hear about any of the murders. So don't tell me anything because I didn't go through all the rooms.
Okay.
You know?
What room were you in when you went to sleep last night?
We were in room 21.
Does it have a history or do you know? Obviously, somebody wakes people up at 4:08.
Well, what I heard in the morning, what I sensed, there was a couple of things that I sensed, that was that there was a man that stood by this one chair in the far side of the room, and I felt that he was a businessman, he had a suit on, and there was an money thing going on. He wasn't necessarily there to sleep, but that he was there more to conduct business, and he might have lived there, quote unquote, but it was more his place of business. One of the things I did find out after was that some of the rooms, especially in the downstairs part, had been small offices, like little executive suites that you would have now. And so then I went into the bathroom of that room. I went into the bathroom, and it was really yucky. My very scientific paranormal term. It was yucky.
Are we talking about needing to be cleaned, or are we talking about it being full of
It was vines? Full of yucky energy.
Not good stuff.
Not good stuff. And I walk in, and I kind of go around the corner, and I just see this gentleman's body in the tub full of water, slumped over, either very drunk or dead.
Well, as I said, there have been some murders in that hotel. And when you literally see these things like a vision, like watching on a movie screen, or are they actually there?
I mean, I see them in my mind's eye, so they're not in corporeal form or vaporous form. You know, they're just there. I mean, I tell people it's kind of like if you wear sunglasses, you can still see through them, but there's something in between your eyes and what you're visually seeing.
Yeah, I have sunglasses on right now, so I know what you're saying.
You know, so...
When you got up to do the TV show this morning, then you went over to another place where some things had happened. You've been busy for 3 days. I mean, how do you keep up with it? You've got pretty good stamina, girl.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
But come on, Jerry, I'm always working. Yeah, you know, this is just, you know, this is actually kind of funner than sitting there working on my webpage, you know, or whatever.
We talked about, you're as a young person up in New York when you were growing up, and I kind of cut you short on that a little bit, but you actually lived where it had been a funeral home at one time, right?
That was in college.
In college.
I mean, the house that I grew up in, you know, I call him the dead guy. He lived in the basement. I have 7 brothers and sisters, and in the basement was where my mother did laundry. We had a big chest freezer and an extra refrigerator. And so if you were tasked to go down to the basement to go get a soda, it was, how fast can you turn the light on, run downstairs, turn the other light on, go open the refrigerator door, grab whatever it was, right or wrong, run back, turn all the lights off, and slam the door behind you.
And
it was the dead guy.
There was a dead guy there, you're sure?
Or well,
I think it was just a story.
Well, no one had to. I had heard when I was about 13 from the gentleman who ran the deli around the corner that someone supposedly had died in that house, had been murdered in that house. But no one knew where. We didn't know anything, and it was, you know, rumor to us. When I was taking some classes, we did this exercise on where are the people in your family energetically in your house. Okay, that was the exercise. And we had to draw like a little schematic of our house, and I was, you know, where all the bedrooms were and, you know, all the floors. And so I was like, okay, there's Bill in this room, and there's my sister in this room, and there's me on the front porch. I kind of own the front porch. And there were some of my other brothers and sisters out in the front yard, and somebody was in the kitchen, and then there was the dead guy. I mean, he made my floor plan, and that's how he got called the dead guy.
You don't know anything about him.
No.
We are talking about ghosts and the dead who live on the other side. Our guest is Dr. Rita Louise, a well-known psychic and soul healer. Rita, we need to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about being a psychic. I mean, there has to be some unique things that have happened to you in your life because you are psychic. I mean, what I'm trying to get at is, I guess you never have to ask your husband what he wants for dinner, right? We'll be back.
I'm Jim Mars, author of Alien Agenda, the world's top-selling nonfiction book on UFOs. I'm here today to tell you one of the most fascinating stories I've come across in my career as a journalist. The secret of Reggate is that so many people in one small American community now know that there is so much more to the universe than what we see and experience in our everyday world.
Save $5 this month when you purchase The Secret of Reggate DVD from ShopJerryPippin.com. This film won the prestigious People's Choice Awards at the 2004 UFO Conference. The Secret of Reggate will astound you. You will want to see it again and again. Save $5. Order it now, this month only, at ShopJerryPippin.com. Secret of Reggate, a Linda Cowan production. We're about to wrap up our two-hour special on the most haunted town in Texas. We are in Jefferson, located in East Texas, and we're talking with well-known psychic Dr. Rita Louise.
As you said, it's kind of different from your regular routine of working. It's not 9 to 5. You work all the time. I can tell people that because I contact you in the middle of the night and you're still working. It's got to be relaxing because it's a change of pace. But also, is it really taxing on you? I mean, it seems to me if you walk into a place all of a sudden you're feeling these images and these things, that would have to wear you down pretty quick.
Well, you know, it's not the sensing and doing the work part. It's the not getting any sleep part. Mm-hmm. I mean, we went to bed at 1 o'clock one morning, but that was after...
That was early, evidently.
Well, that was after the woman I was sharing the room with playing with a Ouija board with someone else, and so that just kind of got me all spooked out. So I laid there for at least an hour before I fell asleep, and then...
What do you think of Ouija boards?
I don't like them. Yeah. I mean, I feel like they open up portals to... Who knows where? And
Have you worried about you going to these places, these spiritual or sacred or ghostly places, and opening up doors that maybe you shouldn't? Does that ever enter into your mind?
I mean, I feel like I have enough information and personal knowledge to not do something like that. I mean, I know how to protect myself, you know, and not bring stuff home with me.
You mean you when you talk, you're not talking physically, protecting yourself, you're talking about...
energetically.
Right.
Yeah.
You know how to, in other words, seal it off so it doesn't bother you later.
Well, I mean, when I'm working, it's like, you know, I'll use my hands to feel so it's not coming necessarily in full contact with my physical body. And then once I feel something with my hand antenna apparatus... Then I look at it, and so I'm not bringing it into my body to interact with it. I mean, someone that does channeling, as an example, it's like they open themselves up to receiving whatever the energy is, and
I don't do that. I mean, it happens for me, but it's not...
You're basically using yourself as an antenna and picking up these things,
right.
and you're deciding what you want to focus in on. Is
that's
that right?
Correct.
It's kind of like going across a radio dial.
Exactly.
Well, I don't want that, but I want this. And
exactly.
Interesting.
You must have read my book.
Well, of course. I'm a very prepared host. Didn't you know that? Folks, you need to get a hold of our book. You can through our website. And you got an interesting website. Let's talk about that for a minute. Give everybody
okay.
your URL.
It's www.soulhealer.com.
On your book and your newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
Your newsletter is very interesting. You send it out quite often.
Actually, it comes out the first Wednesday of every month. And it covers a variety of topics from straightforward alternative health and healing, working with herbs, working with supplements, to self-improvement information, to information on spiritual growth, metaphysics, you know, covering all of the body, mind, spirit aspects that I feel are important to wellness.
Well, we're going to actually do a show with you on wellness here pretty soon, and maybe some regular features, because you've had quite a success down in the Dallas-Fort Worth area especially. But
mm-hmm.
you travel all over the country. Since I've made contact with you, setting up some interviews, which we haven't done yet, because
no
of one
comment.
Thing or another.
No
well,
comment.
Well, you're always out of town, or I'm out of town. But so
okay,
we have to meet
okay,
at
okay,
Jefferson.
Okay, okay.
But
that's
right.
Yeah.
Basically, you know, you've been to Nashville, you've been to Washington State,
Florida.
Florida. You travel everywhere. Somebody interested in this newsletter, how do they get that?
All they need to do is to go on my website, and there's a little form that you can fill in that says, sign me up for the Soul Healer newsletter. You enter your email address and your zip code, and you're on the mailing list.
What are you working on your website next as far as... you have some video on there even.
There's video of me being interviewed on Channel 5 News, Channel 4 News.
In Dallas.
In Dallas.
Big stations, big market. So that means Rita is accepted by the major media.
Mm-hmm.
And that's good. You going to do any more of these things? You belong to this group, I guess, or
right.
they just call on you all the time?
No, you're
an actual bona fide member, huh?
Well, at first I was just a replacement psychic person.
Okay.
And they liked me better than their regular person, and so they made me a member of the group. You know, well, they asked me if I wanted to be a member of the group to just come to all the different investigations. I was like, sure, I don't care.
Did you, last night I noticed, I watched you very carefully there at the Jefferson Hotel. Even though I was doing some other things, interviewing, you were busy with the camera following you around and you walking in the rooms, and you were very concentrated. You
mm-hmm.
were focused.
It's that antenna. You got to get on the right station.
Yeah. Any surprises in this trip? Or you basically come about what you expected to find?
I mean, I really didn't have any expectations.
Okay.
I knew nothing of Jefferson other than Jefferson was haunted. You know, and have heard the name of the Grove and had heard the name of the Jefferson Hotel, but... And when they wanted us to do this project, I wanted to come into it very cold. And so when they were getting history information from the owners and they were doing the advanced walkthroughs to, like, look for electrical outlets and check for ventilation issues and stuff like that, I chose not to come so that when I walked in, that was the impression. I wasn't hearing little pieces of conversation that I might pull into my impressions of the place.
Yeah, that always is the first thing a debunker says is, well, they've heard that before and they thought that or whatever. And so you'd be commended to try to keep an open mind
mm-hmm.
about things, because I guess it is very important. Let's talk just a little bit more about your psychic ability, because we're going to spend a lot of time on the other issues on another show. But how did you find out you had psychic ability?
Ooh. Actually, when I was 30, I had always
last
been...
Last year, huh?
Yeah. No, I'm not even 30 yet.
Oh, okay.
That's next week. Actually, I became interested or fascinated with psychic phenomena when I was 12, when it was still called ESP.
and started studying and reading and reading and reading, because through my reading, the impression I got was that if you attained a certain level of enlightenment, you know, you got a black belt in enlightenment, a byproduct of it was that you had psychic abilities. And so I really didn't care about the enlightenment part. I just wanted the psychic part. But it's like, well, if I have to go there to get this, it's okay. And so that's why I just went on this, you know, insatiable path of reading and studying. And there wasn't really, I mean, there were books out there, but there wasn't anything that I ever saw where you could, like, take classes or anything. Lived in California when I was 30, found the Berkeley Psychic Institute. There's kind of a whole weird story around that.
Is that in Berkeley?
They are in the Bay Area, and around Berkeley.
Yeah, I lived in the Bay Area, so I understand.
You know, so the main campus was in Berkeley, mm-hmm. but I actually went to the school in Palo Alto.
Okay, down on the peninsula.
Mm-hmm. And
the Tata section.
It's where I lived.
Okay, so
I started studying there, and they had some prerequisite classes that you had to take, and had some very weird experiences happen there. But I was like, I'm not psychic, you know, and started in the clairvoyant program, which is the program where they're supposed to teach you how to be psychic. And, you know, there was that TV series called The Sixth Sense that had Gary Collins, mm-hmm. who is the psychic detective. And so when you watch that show, it always showed, like, these thought bubbles with people floating around or, you know.
That's never happened to you?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
Well, that was what I was waiting for. Yeah, okay, that was enlightenment. A thought bubble would appear, and you'd see these things floating around. Didn't ever happen. And that was always my expectation, was that I would have this experience. Didn't ever happen. So I started at Berkeley and sat there waiting for my bubble to appear.
It's okay. You can we can take a break if you want to answer it.
No, okay. It's Jim. He's okay. Like in.
Well,
the,
we don't want to hear from your ex-husband. I mean, your real husband. I mean,
he's in the. I'll call every few minutes until you answer the phone.
No.
Okay. So let's see. So
we'll
I'll
take that part out. You're safe.
Well, I'm just trying to think where I.
But we were about the bubbles.
Okay.
And the visions. And
so
the Gary Collins connection.
So I had started in the program and was expecting to have this experience, and it never happened. And so about 2 weeks into the program, they had a psychic fair. Every month they had a psychic fair that was 2 days long, and if you were in the program, you were expected to read at the fair. And so I get there, and I'm like, and someone said, well, just go take a seat and do some readings. And I'm like, I'm not even psychic yet. I'm only been in here 2 weeks, you know? And so they sent me to the information table, and, you know, I told them what was going on, and I was told this line, and I have used this line ever since. The gentleman at the table looked at me straight in the face and said, just make it up. And then, you know, and I'm going, yeah, right. Yeah, right. And so he put me with a woman that was more advanced in the program, and I just kind of sat next to her. And what was fascinating is she would sit there and talk to people. And, you know, if you're listening to someone else's conversation, you can kind of track it in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I felt like I was doing. She's talking, I'm tracking, and then she'd say, well, is there anything you want to say? And I'd say, well, and I'd kind of talk about the same thing except from a different, slightly different angle, but I didn't really feel like I was contributing anything or doing anything particularly psychic, But no one disagreed with us, so that was okay. So go back to class the following Monday, and we had a healing clinic every Monday. And what would happen was when you would read at the Institute, there would be a line of psychics that sat side by side, and then one client that sat across from them. And so that night, there were about five or six students that had finished this beginning section of the program that decided to just show up. And when you read in line, there was the person that sat in the center of the group who kind of controlled everything, and then it was a definite hierarchy pecking order as you went to the ends. And being so new, I was sitting all the way on the left end of the row. So this woman sits down and she starts complaining about this beauty salon that she had and how she was losing business and And so then the advanced, the really smart psychic started telling her about, oh, you have this past life contract about this. Oh, you have this present life agreement about that. And Jerry, you know my sick mind. I'm sitting there thinking, you know, but that's not getting butts in chairs. So what does she care? Mm-hmm. And the whole time they're talking, I just kept seeing this impression of a woman with really long red hair walking up to like a workstation and taking her purse and slamming it down on the workstation. I didn't know what it was, you know? And so they were, the woman who was kind of facilitating it said, does anybody have anything to add? And so I'm sitting down on the end and I raise my hand. Now usually everybody's yelling stuff out and I'm raising my hand and she said, well, Rita, what are you looking at? And what was interesting was that apparently they wanted you to do the readings with your eyes closed. So first she told me to close my eyes, and I found that a little unnerving to talk with my eyes closed, kind of like chewing gum.
Yes.
And walking at the same time, talking with your eyes closed. And so I closed my eyes, and I asked, did you have this woman with long red hair working for you? And she said, yes. And I said, when she left, was she very angry? And she said, yes. And I said, well, her anger energy is keeping people from coming in the store. And I just went, that was kind of cool. You know, because it wasn't anything different than any of the other weird stuff that had happened. You know, I mean, I used to say stuff like that all the time.
So basically, if I'm getting the message here, you feel you either have it or you don't.
No, I'm not quite done with the story.
Okay, good.
I have a little more piece
okay,
to it.
Okay.
So I'm thinking in my brain, well, that was a weird coincidence, but it wasn't anything different than I had not done with other people that I knew, other people that I didn't know. You know, it was just kind of got this idea, and I just, you know, blabbed. And then I opened my eyes, and the entire row of psychics were leaned over in their chairs with their mouths open, staring at me. And that's when I figured out that that stuff that I had always done my whole entire life equaled psychic experience, and that whole bubble, thought bubble, floating around kind of thing was a lie.
Yeah, I'm very impressed with that whole story, and thank you for taking time to tell us that, because that's a very honest and revealing at the same time about your ability. And I guess what I was trying to say is you either have it or you don't as a psychic.
No, because everybody has the ability. It's just that more people are aware of it than other people.
Uh-huh.
And so the way somebody explained it to me was that everyone knows how to draw. It's just that some people can draw better than others.
Well, that makes sense.
You know, and I thought that was a really good analogy. Right. You know, because we all have the ability to receive information from other people.
Back to the ghost here in Jefferson.
Uh-huh.
And then we got to go. Our time's up. And you've only worked 72 straight hours, so you're probably glad to see it in, too. when we talk about psychics and your experience and seeing these things, you're saying that probably many people who say, ooh, that's spooky or something, they might be picking up on the vibe and they're just not paying any attention. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, if you walk into a room and you get the creeps, that is a psychic experience. If every hair on your body stands on end when you go somewhere.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you first met me. No, no.
Oh, you mean yesterday?
Yeah. No, I understand what you're saying. So, in other words, people need to be paying attention more to what.
And we can have a whole episode on that. I have lots I can share on that topic in particular.
We'll do that in the future, the near future. Any more ghost hunting in the future?
We have two in the next 2 weeks.
So you're going to be busy for a while.
Well, typically we have an investigation maybe once a week, once every other week. And this was just, you know, an extra project that kind of got thrown in on top. But we got to spend three lovely days in Jefferson and went and did about 15 minutes of shopping.
and only a couple hours of sleep each night. And I don't know. I guess you get used to voices waking up at 8 minutes to four. But
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Well, Rita, we'll talk to you again soon.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Bye, Jerry.
Bye, Rita. Oh, I'm sorry. Dr. Louise.
That's right.
Well, we certainly have had an interesting time, an interesting weekend for sure, here in historic old haunted Jefferson, Texas. The ghost train, the haunted hotel, and strange noises in the night. Jane Swartley was our production editor. Roberta Scott was our on-location producer. Until next time, this is Jerry Pippin. Thank you for listening. Cheers.